The text for our consideration this morning is Christ's words on the road to Emmaus to those disciples who did not recognize him right away after he had risen from the dead. Luke 24, verses 25 to 27. Then he said to them, "O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory?" And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. In thinking about the events of Holy Week, one striking aspect is how much things changed and how quickly they changed. Tomorrow night, we'll be commemorating the events of Maundy Thursday, then Christ's crucifixion on Good Friday, and a short 2 days later, we celebrate his resurrection on Easter. Just think of the miraculous changes that came about, especially for Christ's disciples, from that deep despair on Friday to that incomparable joy on Easter morning. In thinking about these changes, I was, oddly enough, I think, reminded of a book that I read several years ago called The Butchering Art. This book describes how the practice of medicine changed throughout the 19th century, especially from the result of two scientific breakthroughs: the discovery of ether as anesthesia and the use of antiseptics to fight infection. Surgery without the use of anesthesia was indeed quite a barbaric procedure. Surgeons were prized not for their intelligence and their delicacy, but for their brute force and strength, how quickly they could saw through bone and flesh while the patient was pinned down by the assistants. The use of ether as an anesthetic caught on because doctors could firsthand see its results. Even in a society not connected by social media, within weeks of the discovery, the use of ether became the default procedure in performing surgery. In contrast, Dr. Joseph Lister argued for the importance of killing germs through antiseptics as a means to prevent post-surgical infections, one of the great causes of death. His ideas took at least a generation to take hold. In part, in contrast to ether, its results were not immediately, and its efficacy was harder to see right away. As we ponder the events of the Holy Week today, let us consider the visible results of Christ's death and resurrection that Christ's contemporaries witnessed, but also those long-term effects that are less visible, but even more important for us. From the trial of Jesus through his death and resurrection, there are quite a few events that would have been remarkable to witnesses. Even if we just focus on the events of Christ's death, it was clear that something momentous had happened. For 3 hours, darkness covered not only Jerusalem, but the whole earth. For those witnessing Christ's death on the cross, it would be hard to miss the connection between his death and the darkening of the sun. Furthermore, the veil of the temple was torn in two, a clear indication of Christ fulfilling the law, a new covenant coming. Even the graves were opened up. The centurion who witnessed Christ's crucifixion was clearly convinced of the significance of Christ's death. So when the centurion saw what had happened, he glorified God, saying, "Certainly, this was a righteous man." Then think ahead to the women who found the empty tomb and Peter who ran there and departed, marveling to himself what had happened. All these miraculous events prove that Jesus was indeed the Son of God and had risen again. Just like the ether, they provided immediate, visible presence of his power. So these events could be seen as direct proof that Jesus was God. He was crucified, dead, and buried, but afterwards he appeared to the disciples and many others alive and bearing the scars of his crucifixion. But even these events weren't enough to bring people to believe in the significance of Christ's resurrection. Even a miracle in itself won't bring a person to faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. For example, in our text, Christ calls the disciples on the road to Emmaus foolish ones and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets had spoken. These disciples, like doubting Thomas, seem to want decisive, visible proof of Jesus' resurrection. Christ instead, before he reveals himself to them, uses scripture to explain to them how he fulfilled the prophecy. Similarly, in John 20, verse 9, we are told that when John came to the tomb, he saw and believed. But then we read, "For as yet they," Peter and John, "did not know the scripture that he must rise from the dead." Peter and John seem to recognize the immediate, visible result, but still need to understand how the Old Testament had pointed to Christ's resurrection to fully realize they're witnessing the fulfillment of Scripture. So while Christ's death and resurrection are miraculous and would have been amazing to witness, what is even more amazing is less visible than the resurrection of Christ. And its effects, like that of an antiseptic, are less easily seen. Christ's death and resurrection are not just significant for Christ or for those who witnessed it, but what they represent for us in fulfilling the law and earning our salvation. Jesus' suffering, death, and resurrection are fulfillments of the Old Testament prophecies. His actions banish the disease of sin and eternal death. This also means that we too have eternal life. As we read in 1 Corinthians 15:20, "But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the firstfruits of those who have fallen asleep." Furthermore, though we're not able to witness firsthand Christ's death and resurrection, we have the sure prophetic word of God. We still have the prophecies that Jesus used to explain the true significance of his death and resurrection to his disciples. And we have the record of the fulfillment of those prophecies in the New Testament. Indeed, when we think about how amazing it would have been to witness the events of Holy Week, we can ponder with joy a transformation that is less visible than Christ's body would have been, but just as, if not more, amazing. Through the Holy Spirit, God has brought us, who were dead in trespasses and sin, and made us alive in faith, and gave us undeserving souls the gift of forgiveness and eternal life in heaven. Paul writes in Romans 5:8, "But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we are sinners, Christ died for us. Much more, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." When Christ declared on the cross, "It is finished," he fulfilled the law for us. Though we are born into the sickness of sin, Christ has provided us the ultimate antiseptic for that sickness through his suffering, death, and resurrection. By his stripes, we are healed. While our troubles, afflictions, and our sins may obscure that invisible healing that Christ has brought to earth and to each of us individually, let us by faith see, understand, and feel in our hearts just how amazing the gift of forgiveness of sins and eternal life is, and to share that wonderful gift of the gospel message with others. We'll close with the singing of hymn 140, verses 1 and 5, hymn 140, verses 1 and 5.